Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. And for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about car and car repair issues and tires and oil. And we're really good at settling arguments between somebody who believes this oil is better than this oil. And gosh, that does that not dominate a lot of my life?
Yes, yeah, too much.
Too much. My wife, Renee, is sitting here next to me. We've been in business together since 1979.
Yes.
And she knows as much about cars as most of the people that work for us.
Not really, but
well, and you handle the phones and
yes,
all that kind
I
of
do.
Stuff and make appointments.
I know the paperwork real good.
And you know the paperwork good, yep, and the checks and all that kind of stuff. So Renee's been the one behind the scenes handling all the money because I'm not really allowed to be around the money. And then when I had my oldest boy, Alan, he's not allowed to be around
That's
the
right,
money.
Like it's, father, like son.
Yep. And then so it's Andy and Renee that handle the money, and Mark and Alan do the business.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Do the business.
Do the
okay.
business. Okay. Well, 602-508-0960 if you have a car question or a car problem, or if you and your husband are arguing about something and you want us to chime in, 602-508-0960. If you listen to us on iHeartRadio, 888-960-9696 is the toll-free number, 888-960-9696. We'll start real quick, and let me tell you about Action Auto Repairs up at I-17 in Deer Valley. Tom and I have been friends since 1983. He does a good job, and I'm always very happy when someone lets me know that they went to a shop that I recommend and they had a good experience. That makes me feel really good because it's nice to be able to do that as opposed to sending them to somebody's shop and having them call back and having breathing fire and attorneys and all that other kind of stuff. That never happens. These guys really are the very best of the best, and I've been doing the best car repair shop since 1988. And this list has grown sometimes, and there's been people that have dropped off, and there's people that come back on, and there's been people that we've removed. But our list is pretty good, and it's available at MarkSalem.com, MarkSalem.com. And we have a caller, so we'll do the caller first. And who might that be?
Say good morning to Jed.
Jed, good morning. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. Except for that my truck engine is shot. It's a 2004 Chevy Silverado, half-ton, two-wheel drive, take four-wheeler. And it's a work truck, and it just barely makes it into my garage, like by a couple inches.
Okay.
I'm afraid if I switch to another car, it won't make it in my garage, and my HOA makes me park in there. So I was wondering if you could recommend a good engine shop.
Okay. Describe better, though. You've come to the conclusion that it needs an engine. And so I want to know, what symptoms do you have that took you there? What do you got right now?
275,000 miles. It's burning oil. It's burning water internally. On the breather cap, there's white buildup with the oil.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm losing water, and I can't find the leak, so I know it's internal.
Okay, well, that doesn't mean anything.
And,
you know, wait a minute. I'm going to stop you there. That's not true. Just because you can't find the leak, and then you've come to the conclusion that it has to be internal, that doesn't mean anything to me.
There's water on the breather cap.
Well, I know, but that's just water in the oil.
Cap.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you want a motor, all I would do is I would call around and to the shops that are in your area. If you want to know a shop, then go to MarkSalem.com. And you say to them, I have a 04 Chevy Silverado half-ton two-wheel drive, and it's got, what do you got, the 5-liter, 5.9 in it, the 350?
I know the 4.8.
Okay, you got the 4.8. So you just tell them what you've got and just say, would you bid a long block installed? That's the terminology, long block installed.
Okay.
And they should be able. Then I would say to them, please put the belts and the hoses and the oil and the filter and the coolant and the motor mounts. Would you just kind of guess on a lot of that stuff and give me a worst case scenario? Most of us gray-haired guys already know that, but I don't know who you're going to call. But that's what I would do. I would just say, and then, you know, you guys have some kind of an idea off the top of your head?
What a motor would cost?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't honestly.
Okay. You're not in there.
No.
It really depends on the motor.
Yeah.
The two motors that I would be putting in there, I would either be putting a General Motors crate motor, or I'd be using a Jasper motor. Right. Those are the only two motors that I'd put in it. And we bid the motor, and then we're going to have X amount of dollars for in and out labor. And then in my shop, it's $1,000 miscellaneous, and we won't use it all, but we're going to give you that number up front. So that's kind
of. And where is your shop located?
Well, we're way south at Warner and I-10. Where are you at now?
I'm 35th Avenue in Pinnacle Peak.
Okay. Then you're up near Blackwell at, Pinnacle. I don't have anybody up north there. Harker's Automotive at 38th and Indian School would be a good place. But I think I'm going to suggest to you that why don't we just find and fix the water leak first? Why don't we just do that?
That's not the only problem. It was missing. It's got like a bad lifter, and it was missing really bad. So we did we changed the coil packs, we changed the wires, we changed the plugs. One of the plugs, the electrode was busted right off. I've never even seen that before.
Okay, but the problem is you're doing stuff that I would have never done. You guys are just throwing parts at it. I'm suggesting that you just have somebody find out where the water leak's at. That's it. Let's fix the water leak. I mean, if I got rid of the water leak and I got the thing to idle good, start good, and run good, would you keep it?
Well, yeah, but it's using about 2 quarts of oil every month.
Well, don't you? How many miles is that 2 quarts in?
Probably maybe 2,000.
Okay, so a quart every 1,000 miles?
Yeah.
Okay,
maybe
well, that's
500.
That's not really, I'm not really worried about that, but if I were going to go stop the water leak, then what kind of oil do you put in it? What weight?
At a Costco, the heaviest weight I can get, which is that the Kirkland brand, 530, probably 530.
Okay.
1030, I think.
Well, I wouldn't put a multigrade in there. If you're using oil and you're worried about an oil consumption problem, I'd put a straight 30 weight or a straight 40 weight in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a good idea. And so if I thickened up the oil and I fixed the water leak, I can deal with the engine misses and all that other kind of stuff down the road. But the bottom line is it would be easy. What happens if this is an intake manifold that's leaking water? What happens if all I have to do is pop the intake and reseal it and put it back on the top of the motor? What happens if that's the case? And
yes.
I can tell you that we're pretty successful, and like a lot of shops, we found sealers that we use on internal leaks. And I want to tell you something. We hit a home run 9 out of 10 times, and we just tell the customer it's guaranteed. Here's the deal. If we put the sealer in it and it doesn't and the leak comes back, we'll just give you your money back. We'll just give you your money back.
Do you recommend a sealer?
What's that?
Do you recommend a sealer?
No.
I mean, a brand name?
Nope, I'm not going to give you the name of it. I'm not going to. And I'll tell you why. Okay, all right. You can go buy them. Go ahead. I don't care. The issue is this has a very specific process associated with how. Okay.
You got to clean it real good.
No, we're not going to discuss it because we're going into an area that nobody cares about. The fact of the matter is the success of my sealer depends on who puts it in and how they put it in. And so I'm not going to throw a name and a number out there and then have everybody complain that my sealer didn't work for them when I ask them 5 questions and they say, no, they didn't do any of that. So the answer is no. So I'm sorry, but call around to some shops and ask them if they've got a sealer that they can guarantee. We do. I don't know what the turnaround is. It's $100 and something, $150, $160.
Yes. Yeah, yes. I think, and you have to drive it a certain amount or whatever. Yes.
Don't tell them.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Okay. Yeah. You have to do a lot of work.
Yes.
And so it's all the work plus the bottle of the sealer.
Yes. Exactly.
And so the answer is I've done the best I can with your questions, Jed. Good luck to you. Good luck to you. And if you want to find a shop up near where you're at,
Action close or not?
Action is close. He's I-17 in Deer Valley.
Yeah.
So if I-17 in Deer Valley is close to you, Action Auto's a good place. And he's capable of doing motors and stuff like that. So those are the options. But anyway, Jed, thank you very much. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. 602-508-0960. And, Gil, do we have somebody else?
Yes. Say hello to Hector.
Hector, good morning.
Hey, good morning. First of all, I want to let you know, longtime fan of you and your show and your shop. Been to your shop many times there, so longtime fan.
Thank you.
All right. I have kind of two questions. One question is, you know, since the pandemic, you know, I've worked from home and now I've changed jobs and I live like a mile from where I work. And my question is on the recommended oil change interval, you know, it says typically, you know, 6 months, 6,000, whichever comes later. But honestly, to drive 6,000 miles, it might take me the better part of 11, 12 months. So do you recommend me, you know, just changing it at the roughly 6 month mark or till I actually hit the 6,000 miles, which might take, you know, close to a year?
You know, here's why we want you to drive it. Here's why. When you start it up and you warm it up, then you shut it off and it cools down, we're going to get some moisture in the oil. And we might get a half of a teaspoon of water in the oil. Now, if you get into it and you drive it to Tucson and back, we're going to get the motor up to 220 degrees. Water boils at 212. We suck the water out in steam, send it out the tailpipe, and now the oil's a whole lot better off than it was. So it really depends on how many heat cycles are you getting it. If you only drive 2 miles to work every day, then you're not even warming it up. The heater doesn't even work by the time you get there. So I think my company, now are you using a conventional oil, just not a synthetic?
I think I always use either a semi-synthetic or full synthetic because I know the interval is extended, which I like to, at the very minimum, a semi-synthetic.
Okay, at the semi-synthetic, I'd go 6 months. I don't care the mileage. I'd go 6 months.
Okay.
And I wouldn't have any problem with that whatsoever. And how many miles will that be in 6 months for you, Hector?
Maybe roughly 3,000, I would say, honestly. 3,000, maybe 3,500 at most.
Why don't you use a conventional oil if you're only going to go 3,000 miles? A conventional gives you good protection for 3,000, 4,000 miles.
Okay. So I thought about it, but honestly, one of the reasons I don't is I like the longer intervals that I go because, honestly, no matter where I go for oil changes, I'm there anywhere from 1 or 2 hours for a simple oil change, so I only want to do this like every 6 months.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, it's conventional is 3 to 5. 5,000 miles, and then semi-synthetic is 5 to 7,500, plus or minus, and then synthetic is 7,500 upwards to 15,000, 20,000 miles. And so so you make it fit however you want it, but it's really heat cycles and stuff like that.
Okay, so you don't think that he could go, because he said he'd drive 6,000 a year, and if he's got semi-synthetic,
He could go a year.
He could go a year. That's what I'm thinking, too.
I'm fine with it. You going a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming you're going to check the dipstick every once in a while, right, Hector?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Okay. I'm not. And then every once in a while, you're going to use the truck for a much longer, and you're going to go through a good heat cycle, right?
Yeah, I tend to, like, once a week, I will drive it for maybe at least 2 20-minute drives because I visit my sister a couple of times a week. So, you know, at least a couple of times a week, I'm at least, you know, freeway speed.
I just want you to get up to where the gauge is north of half, preferably between half and three-quarter, and a sustained period of time, and that's all we really need. But anyway, I think you're doing a good job, Hector. Thank you very much for calling. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We have five lines, and they're all wide open, and we'll be right back. 21 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. For the next hour and 40 minutes, we're here talking about car repair. We settle arguments between husbands and wives.
We can't settle our own, but we settle theirs. That's
exactly right. Exactly right. We can settle yours. And and typically, we can handle anything. We can handle kids, money,
sure.
All that kind of stuff. Well, we have experience.
Yes, we do.
We do. We have experience. We've been married 67 years. Is that what it's been? Or I've got, oh, it's 76.
Like it.
It's 76 years. I got it backwards. I got you.
Yeah.
Anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. You can be first. Automatic Transmission Exchange has been around since 1968. Phil and his staff are great guys for diagnosis. A little leak here, a little leak there. It does this when it's cold. It does this when it's hot. Those are the kinds of things that they do. Phil got started when automatic transmissions first came out, so he's been through all the different generations of automatic transmissions where before we shifted them with throttle and vacuum, and today a computer shifts your transmission for you. And so he understands all of that because actually we're still shifting the transmission, but in the old days we used throttle pressure or we used vacuum, and today we use electronics. No difference. It's just a matter of it's just a different way to accomplish the goal. Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington, good place to go. We also have a service rider opening at our facility, and if you know anybody who is a service rider in any kind of automobile repair environment, mm-hmm. whether it's the chain stores, whether it's this mom and pop, whether it's a dealership, whether it's a fleet group or whatever, we're located at Warner and I-10. Mm-hmm. And folks, I don't talk about my shop at all because the show isn't about my shop. But today, it's going to be about my shop for this reason. We're looking for a service rider. We had one, and he moved to his house to the west side of town, and then he found a job at a dealer on the west side of town, so we have an opening. So we're looking for somebody that is well-experienced, and here's the good news. Mm-hmm. We work Monday through Friday.
Yep.
We work Monday through Friday, and there's two service riders. Actually, there's three or four because Andy and Alan are doing service riding as well, and those are our kids. And so we have four, and then we have a full parts department. So the service rider's job is just to keep track of the phones, mm-hmm. keep track of the cars, of the tickets in front of him. So he does the estimates and stuff like that. And we have a 401k. We have hospitalization insurance that's there after some period of time. Mm-hmm. So and we have 401k. I think we match
some portion of it, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. we match some portion of your 401k, and then after a while, there's hospitalization as well.
Medical insurance. Yes, yeah.
So we do have the full package. Anyway, Andy, A-N-D-I, at SalemBoysAuto.com would be who you talk to. Andy is a girl, A-N-D-I, at SalemBoysAuto.com.
Yeah, send a resume or whatever.
Yeah.
And that would be great. She would get back to you.
And then we already have a service rider. Daniel's yeah. with us. Mm-hmm. And then, like I say, Andy, my daughter, and Alan, our son, they work the front counter as well. So it's not like we have 20 bays. So it's got we have two full-time service riders and two full-time parts people. Mm-hmm. So we do have a good group of people that work together hand in hand. So that many times the service rider is the service rider, the parts, the appointment calendar, mm-hmm. the adjuster, the shop foreman, the dispatcher, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and this is more specific.
Yeah,
to,
and
yeah,
most of that's
writing.
Yeah, you're into the service writing business, and then you also, what's the word I'm looking for? You assign the work to the right technician.
Right.
So it's your job to give it to the right technician, the guy best qualified for that job. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of technicians, and we have a wide variety.
Yeah.
We have diesel guys. We have heavy line guys. We have performance guys. We have computer guys. We have all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So anyway, that's the business that we can talk about. If you're getting ready for the winter right now, if you're going to be doing your coolant, just make sure that either the gallon of coolant you have has already been blended with water, and it'll be called a 50-50 at that point. You can put that straight into your cooling system. But if you're going to use a gallon of concentrated coolant, whether it's green or orange or blue or red, whatever, you've got to mix that with water. And you can use distilled water or you can use tap water. Heck, it doesn't make any difference because today's cooling systems are pretty much impervious to anything that might go through the tap at your house. So distilled water, whether you believe it or not, is a little caustic in and of itself. So it is so clean that it can etch metal over a huge period of time. So we've used tap water since 1979, and we're not really, I don't remember if anybody ever had a problem with the fact that we use tap water for.
More coolant is not better. It's got to be a 50-50 mix, no matter whether you do it that way.
Thank you, Mrs. Salem. Thank mm-hmm. you very much for that, because people do that all the time. If you mix coolant properly, you have a protection to 40 below zero. But 100% coolant doesn't give you that. It needs a gallon of water with a gallon of coolant to make you get you to the minus 40 degrees. Now, Phoenix, every other day is minus 40.
Oh,
my
I know.
Goodness.
But a lot of people like to go up to the snow, so you never know.
Flagstaff.
Skiing, sure.
Sure. So
sunrise.
It's just those kinds of technical things. There's lots of coolant you can buy 50-50. The problem with that is just between you and me, Renee.
Mm-hmm.
You're buying a half a gallon of coolant and a half a gallon of water.
Water, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Expensive.
So why don't you just buy a gallon of coolant that makes 2 gallons of coolant,
mm-hmm.
2 gallons of coolant to put in your car.
Sure.
So those are the kinds of tricks and stuff. We do those a lot. They're not tricks, but just knowledge. Yes. Why would you buy a gallon of coolant that's only half a gallon of coolant and the other half is water? But it does make it convenient for people that just want to top off their systems.
Sure.
And so if that's the case. And then there's all the different colors. And it was at the beginning that we're not supposed to mix the colors. And today there's a whole lot of people out there that have mixed colors and nobody's been hurt by it and nobody had a slew of motors fail and all that other kind of stuff.
No, I think we did see it one time where it turned to like a creamy liquid.
Yes.
They mixed something wrong. So, but isn't orange like a universal that you could do with anything? Or there is one that...
The orange and the amber.
Okay.
Orange and amber, depending on the brand, the mm-hmm. orange and the amber is that kind of a situation. It could be this or it could be that. That's right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's if you're a do-it-yourself person, you flush it all out. You take the lower radiator hose off. You take the Petcaca out of the radiator. You get all the water out as much as you can. If you have a compressed air, you can blow through the lower hose and blow some of the water out of heater hose fitting. Then you mix it outside in a five-gallon bucket with a gallon of coolant and a gallon of water. Then put it in and so forth and so on. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But we just we're probably a little bit more proficient than the normal guy.
We have more equipment to mix things in.
And then all that kind of stuff. So 602-508-0960 is the phone number. If you have a car question or a car problem, or if you just got an estimate or something like that recently and you want to run it by us, you can. 602-508-0960. Right now, our industry is kind of in shambles because we've got a lot going on. The labor rates are raising dramatically. Our parts costs are raising dramatically. Technicians are moving around a lot looking for greener grass. So right now, we're up in the air. Right now, there's a whole lot of chaos going on, not to mention that there's a couple of large companies that are purchasing auto repair shops and putting them in a chain format. So we'll be back right after this. 34 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. Mark Salem and my wife Renee here sitting here next to me, and we're here at your service. 602-508-0960 is the phone. We've got two callers, and we're going to get to them in the next 30 seconds. And we have five lines, and Gil answers the phone. Don't make him mad because he has slippery fingers. He pushes a button, and you hear a dial tone, so don't do that. But if you get ready for winter, you're going to deal with the coolant system in your car. Some of you are probably only a year into your car cooling system, and we can go 2 or 3 years, depending on your owner's manual, on how long before you flush your cooling system. So that's something you look at your owner's manual. More coolant is not better. It has to be a 50-50 mix of coolant and water. Your wipers and your tires, those are the two things that you really should be looking at right now. Good morning, Tom. How can I help you this morning?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to your show for quite a while, and I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
You're a great service. My situation is a bad one. It's just a curious one. I've got two classic cars. I have a 1964 Buick Skylark with a 300 V8 in it. I bought it from the original owner. It's got 78,000 original miles. Wonderful car. I also have a 66 Impala with a 327, another one I bought from the original owner. It has 93,000 original miles. As far as what they've told me and what it looks like, the engines have never been touched. They run wonderful, but I'm perplexed with – I'm an old guy. I'm an old gray-haired guy in my 70s, so I was around when we switched to unleaded fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember back then in the day that was saying – you can't run unleaded fuel in these old cars because the lead cools the valves and the valve seats, and without that, you're going to have problems. So I've been driving the wagon for about 4 years now and the Buick for about a year, and of course I put unleaded fuel in them. So what's your take on that?
Well, I think – let me change your question, okay? Let me just change your question. Mark, how many cars do you service a day, Renee?
Oh, I don't know. 30.
30. We do 30 a day, 150, 200 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do classics? We got classics.
Yeah.
I mean, we got some hot rods. We got everything imaginable, and we are really good with classics. Mark, when was the last time you saw any engine damage related to the absence of lead in the gas? Never. Have you heard about it? Oh, yeah, I hear about it all the time. But when you ask for specifics, when you ask for very specific. The motor went to heaven. Okay, what happened? Then you find out the rod went through the block and it had died of oil starvation, and it's being blamed on the fact that they didn't have lead in their gas. I want to tell you something. Uh-huh. We have cars, 70 Chevelle Supersports, stuff like that. I just put premium in them. I don't care. I'm not putting lead in additive in them. I'm not doing any of that. So I haven't seen all of this problem about the leaded gasoline and the old cars. I've not seen a problem with that. So I see nothing to fix.
I've asked a lot of guys that collect cars and say, I've never had a problem and so forth. And the thing was like, oh, you have to put hardened seats in them and all this. And so it's not something I need.
No, I don't think you need to worry okay. about it. I don't think you need to put lead in your gas. Okay. This whole thing about the valves are going to fall out and we need lead for this and for that and the seats are going to fall. None of that's happened.
That's what I thought, but I just wanted to hear from an expert because they were saying you got to put hard seats in them.
Yep.
And that the lead cooled it and no lead. Now the valves are going to burn and the okay. seats are going
to... Wait a minute. It's not that the lead would cool it. Lead provided the lubrication. So we're still running oil down the stems, but we can, you and I can talk for the rest of the hour about all the different lead stories. The fact you ask me a question, I'm telling you, I don't believe in any of those, and I don't have a single classic car I'm responsible for that had any valve damage. Okay?
Okay. Can I ask you one more question?
Real quick. Yes, sir.
Okay. Both of them are two-speed automatic transmissions. I know that the Chevy is a Powerglide. I'm not sure what they call the Buick transmission, but it's probably the same. The Buick, when I come to a stop, I mean, it shifts fine. Takes off, it shifts fine. It seems to shift at the right RPM. Everything seems right. But every now and then when I slow down or I'm taking a corner where it goes to downshift, it makes this big clunk sound. But then it shifts and then it does what it's supposed to do, but it doesn't do it all the time. It does it periodically. It makes this big clunk. You can feel it and hear it.
Okay.
In the Buick.
I would call the automatic transmission exchange, and I would ask them if they can adjust the downshift point on your Powerglide on your two-speed automatics, and they probably can with the shift cable. I'm thinking but I'm also thinking that it's a common problem because there's no computer that's running this car. It's just
right.
it's a combination of the speed of the engine, the speed of the car, and how hot the motor is, and all that kind of stuff. And so because those variables cause the downshift, sometimes it's going to hit, and sometimes it's not. But I want to tell you something. Again, change the question. Mark, how many Powerglides have you ever seen that have come in that have been blown apart because they downshift? And the answer is never. So I think you'll be just fine. But anyway, thank you very much, Tom. Let's go to Victor. Victor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, Mark, I want to tell you that I've gone to three of the places that you guys recommend, and all three of them have been excellent.
Good. Thank you.
I would go back to them all the time.
Thank you.
But right now I have a problem.
Okay.
I've got a Dodge Ram. It's an older one, an 03, and when I drive it, it goes in and out of overdrive.
Okay.
The RPM up, so I know it's doing that, and I got a little light in the dash that's telling me that it's being done. I don't hit the button or anything, but it's just doing it. I've taken to one shop that's very good. And they put in a new gear shift. They figured the switch that was in that gear shift on the end was bad. I drove it all the way home, and it ran beautifully. I couldn't think of anything nicer to say about that. They did an excellent job.
Good.
The next day when I went out there, I let the car. I don't use that truck all the time. But I went out there and. I got in the truck, put it in reverse, and the light started flashing again. And I got a little upset with it, but what the heck, you know. I work building machines. Oh,
okay,
so
but we need to get to the end of this real quick, though. Okay, so coming, let's bring this to a close. Are you still have the light flashing on your dash?
Right, it's flashing, and I thought for a while there it was coming because when I turned the turn signal on, it would do this, and when I turned the air conditioning on, it would do this, and...
Okay, well, you've just completely turned the whole story upside down. Okay,
you added a few
things there that just really listen. This I think what you need to do is give somebody two or three examples, electronic examples. Think based on because I know what I'd be doing, and so do half the shops in my group. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to do a complete electrical systems analysis. We're going to check your grounds. We're going to check the power. We're going to look at the regulator. We're going to look at the battery terminals. We're going to look at the alternator belt. We're going to go through and look at everything and make sure that everything is where it's supposed to be at. This kind of a problem, when you have this kind of a problem, it's because somebody took the ground cable off the back of the motor and that used to go to the bell housing in the bell housing area of the body, and somebody took that off and left it dangled, didn't put it back in. That causes all kinds of weird problems, including headlights dimming and alternators and shifting and all that stuff. So I can't fix your car. All I can tell you is that the shops that you've dealt with, just give them that information, and I'm pretty sure they're going to start with, we're going to do an analysis of your charging system, your starting system, your electrical system, and all your grounds and all your powers. And I think that's really what you need. Got to take a break. We'll be back right after this. 45 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. Mark and Renee here at your service, 602-508-0960. Henry, I'm going to get to you in about 35 seconds. But I need to talk about Auto Dynamics in Sun City. Family owned and operated since 1982. They're on the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. They're not going to sell you unnecessary parts or repairs. They have really good technicians. And I've known Chuck, the owner of Auto Dynamics, since 1968. In high school, I worked at a gas station, and Chuck was the good friend of Ken, who owned the gas station. And Chuck stopped by. He's a little on the ornery side, but that's just the way the old gas station guys were in the 60s, okay?
Just like you.
But just like me. And he is ornery, but the orneriness extends to the technicians who want to tell us about the way it's supposed to be now, old man, gray-haired guy. So anyway, you're protected. Auto Dynamics, north side of Grand and 50 and west of 99th Avenue. Henry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. It's been a long time. I'm the guy that always had those interesting questions.
Okay.
Well, this one's not so interesting. I have a 2012 Dodge Avenger V6. When it's really cold in the morning and I start rolling, within about 15 seconds, I'm pushing the gas and I'm hearing this turbulent on the right front side, almost like a brake caliper sticking. But as I'm applying it, the RPMs are not going up. And it makes a beep, but no check engine light or nothing else lights up on the dash. Not traction warning or anything like that.
Henry, I have no idea. I'd have to drive it. This is
one
of those.
And then it goes after about 10 seconds, and then it never comes back until the next day.
Okay. I don't know. You only have two choices. No one can go. I mean, you're gonna let somebody spend $150 to $175 an hour based on what you just told them? I mean, that wouldn't be a good idea. I think what I would do if I were you is I would learn how to make it happen, or I would learn how what makes it happen, or I would, if it was happening, I would pull into a facility and say, can I, and you're not going to do this on a Monday morning or a Friday afternoon, but can I take one of your technicians for a ride real quick because I've got a noise and it's happening right now. But you need to work harder on the noise with respect to air on, air off, cold engine, hot engine, what gear, what transmission. And then we don't need a diagnosis from you. We don't want that the caliper's hanging up. I've got a squeaking noise on the right front that goes away when I apply the brakes, because that can be a bad wheel bearing too. So I just kind of help you out here by telling you what it is we need. But if it's a noise and it's a suspension clunk or a suspension squeak or a suspension noise, typically us old guys can drive the car and get it to happen if you can't. And if you, especially if you're with us, but you're not going to take one of our technicians for 2 hours on a test drive while you try to get it to happen, because that's just not fair. So
even if I stop by Krispy Kreme donuts on the route,
well, you know, that might make a difference. Yeah, yeah, you know, or the bar or something like that. You know, Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock, I'm stuck. Hey guys, I'm going with Henry.
Yeah,
he's got another problem with the front end of his car.
We'll see you on Monday.
Yeah, we'll see you on Monday. So anyway, good luck to you, Henry. Thank you very much. That's a great question. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. There's another shop in town.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to tell you, I have to tell you about him. His name's Tom Blackwell, and it's Blackwell Automotive. Blackwell and I are cut from the same cloth. We know everything about cars, or at least we think we do.
There you go.
And we're not willing to listen to anybody else tell us what's
going
on.
There you go.
Yep, yep. And both of us run roughshod on our technicians because they're not going to tell us what's going on, and they better convince us. And we do a good job with that. We do a good job because they follow the idea that we really need to diagnose exactly what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
But Blackwell does hot rod cars. He does vintage cars. If you've got a car that's got a 427 in it and you want to put a supercharger on it, he's the guy to do it. But he also does family cars, from everything from motorhomes to VW Bugs. So if you're up near 40th and Greenway and you don't have a repair shop, may I suggest that you make an appointment for your next oil change at Blackwell Automotive and see how you like him. One of Tom's best attributes is his wife and his service manager, Polly, and his service manager, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And as Mark Salem is, I'm surrounded by really good people, and sometimes I'm not the best representative of the company. It's just that
you think you are.
Yeah, I think I am, and it's really not. It's really Renee. But anyway, that's what I would do if I were you. Is do that. 602-508-0960 is the phone number. 602-508-0960. One of the things with car repair is what one of the things, you know, where my eyes just glass over. I mean, my ears close and my eyes glass over is when they start saying that they went on the internet and somebody at Google said something. That just wads my underwear up.
Oh, I'm sure all your listeners know that too, because you go crazy every time they say that.
It's like grabbing a hold of the front of my boxers and the back of my boxers and lifting me off the ground. That's exactly the feeling I have.
Okay.
I hate that.
I know. But you go to Google or some YouTube for some stuff too, so that's just what people are doing now. You don't always agree with it because you don't know who's answering the question.
Okay, but I'm not going to fix your car based on what Google said.
Of course not.
Because when it doesn't work, then you're going to be mad at me, and then the next shop's going to say, well, he didn't do it right, and I'm in a position of no win.
Right.
So I'm going to diagnose it. I'm going to guarantee my diagnosis and my repair. So if you get the diagnosis and you don't take the repair, it's okay. You're going to leave with the same problem, but I'm going to put it in writing about what it is and my estimate.
Sure.
On the other hand, if you bring it in and you tell me to replace all the wheel bearings on the front end and I do that, then you call me back and say, call me back and say you didn't fix it. My answer is I wasn't there to fix anything. You diagnosed the problem, obviously.
Right. You said what it was. The more symptoms they can give us, the better. And sometimes we tell people this a lot, and maybe that last caller was the same. It almost has to get worse before we can diagnose it.
You know, I can drive a car and get something to happen, and I can describe it pretty good.
Yeah.
Just using normal terms.
Yes.
You know, I gently apply the brakes, or I apply them hard.
Mm-hmm.
The noise, I can feel it in the seat of my pants. No, I can feel it in the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there's all these variables that are there.
Right.
And it doesn't happen on a left turn, but it only happens on a right turn. And when there's a clunk, if I brake hard, there's a clunk, and it seems like it's coming from the right front. But if I'm making a left turn and I brake hard, it doesn't do it. Well, it's got an upper control arm bushing out of it. I already know that. Then I go get in the car, and I open the hood, and I say, Eddie, come here. Watch the upper control arms on the right side. And I rock the car back and forth, reverse neutral drive. Hey, go stop. You're about ready to blow the upper control arm clean off of it.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, just wanted to make sure that this was moving.
Your guess was right. Oh,
no,
teasing.
No, I give you that as an example.
I know.
Oh, you're just busting my chops today.
That's right.
You're feeling bad. If we got a caller?
Yes, you do. Say good morning to Buffalo Rick.
Buffalo Rick. Buffalo.
Good morning,
Rick.
Mark.
Good morning, Rick. Buffalo, Rick.
I'm the guy who took the stagecoach in back 82 to Blackwell's shop, which at that time was not at 40th Street and Greenway, but I had taken it to two or three different shops, and they all said, don't ever bring this thing back here again. Well, Tom never said anything like that. He took care of it. In fact, he's so wonderful to me. I'm one of his oldest customers, according to what he told my wife the other night. And I had my 1938 rat rod in there because I was getting ready for a parade, and I was worried about overheating. Tom put a fan on my rat rod that makes it sound like it's got a supercharger on it, and I don't think I reached 150 degrees during the parade. I think it was wonderful, and if anybody needs a recommendation for Tom Blackwell, all they need to do is contact me.
Well, listen, thank you very much for that. It is true that that there are a lot of shops out there
mm-hmm.
that have an owner mm-hmm. that was born and raised in the 60s and in the 50s and knows and is not afraid to make and adapt something to a car to fix something.
Yeah.
So Tom put an electric cooling fan. I don't know if he put a switch on it or if he put a thermostat on it, but he could set it when it comes.
No, he actually replaced the fan that was on there. It was a fairly large fan. But the one that he put on there is such a high velocity that I almost have to close my windows to hear my radio.
Okay, and so so instead of it just being a fan that sits off the ceiling of your room, it's got some blades on it that have some dangerous angles to them, so it's moving lots of air.
And it's doing. In fact, I had flags on the cowl of my rat rod during the parade, and as soon as I start the engine, the fan was strong enough that it was blowing the flags.
Yes, yes. We're moving lots of air, so he knows, and a lot of us old gray-haired guys know, that if we want to move more air, we've got to change the pitch and the angle and the size of the blades and the number of the blades. So let's get away from a two-blade fan or a three-blade fan or a four-blade fan. Let's get a four-inch flex fan on there. So at high speeds, the fan's just sliding through the air, but at low speeds, it's pulling air big time through the radiator, which is what we want it to do, and cool off the cooling system. So, yeah, we understand the fundamentals of all of that. And it's fun to hook up the electrical part of that because we have so many different ways to do it. A lot of old guys just want to switch, but they forget to flip the switch on until they're in the overheat mode. But today, most of us are putting it on a thermostat that we put a little sensor underneath the radiator hose on the top hose. And when it gets to a certain temperature, it provides a ground and causes the fan to come on. So, yeah, we're really good at all that kind of stuff. I'll tell you who else is good at that is Kurt at Kurt's Automotive.
Oh, yeah.
And then over there at Harker's Automotive.
I think so many of the guys on your list are that way.
Well, yeah. I'm just touching around.
Sure.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Who's it's Bob and Ellen.
Yes.
Bob and Ellen at Harker's, mm-hmm. and Bob's the old time guy. Blackwell's an old time guy. Kurt's Automotive is an old time guy. Thompson's Automotive is an old time guy.
Yeah.
We're just looking at all these guys here. Yeah. It's Strictly Digital. He's been around a long time. Action Auto. He's been around a long time. So yeah. All of us guys have been around the block. But just don't come in and tell us that you read on Google that this is going to fix your problem. Please don't do that to us. Please. You know, as soon as I hear the word Google, my eyes glaze over. And I have this uncanny urge to go to the bathroom and get the heck out of the lobby. No, just to go somewhere else to get the hell out of the lobby. And so that's what happens. It's just, let's talk symptoms. The big sin is tell us what your dad said, tell us what your husband said, tell us how to fix your car, and not tell us what we're fixing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to walk in and say, I've got a problem, and let me describe the problem. It doesn't do it until I'm 5 miles from home, And I'm going to say, well, where's the temperature gauge at that point? And then you say, it doesn't do it here, and it does do it there. And then if I make a left turn, then it thumps. But on the right turn, it doesn't thump. And then I say, well, can you feel it on the passenger side when you're riding on the path? Well, I don't know. Well, you and your wife switch and have her make the hard left turn, and you put your feet on the passenger side floorboard, and can you feel the thump? Yes, I can. Boom. Hey, you just saved yourself $80 worth of work right there, buddy. Mm-hmm. So the more answers, and then there's answers or three answers. What are they, Renee?
Oh, I don't know. Yes, no, maybe.
Yes, no, I don't know. Forget the maybe. It's yes, no, and I don't know. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. 602-508-0960. Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Let me touch base real quick on one of my best shops is Kurtz Automotive. We talked about him last hour. Kurtz has been around since 1987. He does gas and diesel. He has ASC certified technicians. And he's been around a long time, and he's one of us old gray-haired guys that's been around since the 50s and the 60s and the 70s when cars were in the transition period from being huge pieces of junk to something that was a little better every year. So we went into electronic ignition in the mid-70s, and then we went into to feedback carburetors and then fuel injection in the 90s and stuff like that. So if you went through that time frame, you're smarter than the average bear because you understand fundamentals. Kurtz Automotive is I-17 and Bell Road, northeast corner. Good guy. Okay, I'm going to take up some of your time, and the lines are wide open, so here's 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. So I want to tell you a story, okay? The last couple of years, I've mentioned on the radio that my family and I and people from our automotive industry as well as radio listeners raise money for the Secret Santa Club. If you're like us, and this happened 33 years ago, Renee and I looked at one another, and we just felt empty on on Christmas morning because we could have done more, but we didn't do more. And so 33 years ago, we decided that we're going to change that because we've been blessed with wonderful kids and grandkids and all that kind of stuff, and we changed it. 33 years ago, up until now, we've raised $230,000. Now, let me tell you, whoever donates the most each year, Mark and Renee match it. Whoever donates the most. So someone did, I don't know, what, 8,000 one time?
No, 4,000.
4,000 one time just to challenge us, and so Mark and Renee donated 4,000. So whatever the highest number is, Mark and Renee beat that by a dollar. So here's the sample of the things that we use the money for. Blankets, socks, stuffed animals, and pajamas for folks in nursing homes that don't have family. These are folks that have no one to buy for them for Christmas. So we, blankets, socks, stuffed animals, pajamas. Gifts and clothes for kids that are in state-run group homes. We're going after the people that perhaps don't have family. Hygiene bags for homeless people that include socks, t-shirts, toothbrush, toothpaste, lotion, soap, sunscreen, chapstick, and wipes. So Renee and her family, as well as our kids and my daughter-in-law and my daughter, they all go out and shop this stuff. Packages from home for our servicemen and women. We've donated hundreds of turkeys plus cash to the St. Mary's Food Bank and St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. We've donated toys where the women go out and buy a whole lot of toys to give to W. Stephen Martin's toy drives and Toys for Tots. And we've helped women and their children who are living in domestic violence shelters. So we have contacts, people that we deal with. And they'll call us sometimes in November, or we'll call them in December, and they'll say, hey, tell us what you got. Every single dollar we collect is spent on presents and donations. We don't take any money for overhead staff, postage, helpers. Every cent is used to buy Christmas gifts. And Mark and Renee do all of this, and actually Renee does a whole lot more than anybody else. And if you'd like to be part of the Secret Santa Club, perhaps there's females out there that say, I'd like to help, then you call Renee at mm-hmm. Salem Boys in Tempe. Mm-hmm. And Renee will have you help. So you might adopt a state-run home that we normally, and so you identify the kids and what size shirts they have and pants they have and shoes they have, and then we give you money and you go out and buy that stuff and wrap it up and give it to them. Mm-hmm. So we have an army of people, but we've been doing this, like I say, for 33 years, and many times radio listeners will step up, but we understand that a lot of you have families already. Mm-hmm. So if you feel a little empty on Christmas morning that you shoulda, coulda, woulda, done better, then here's your chance, because I can tell you it's made a big change in our world, because when we wake up on Christmas morning, we know there's a whole lot of people that had a Christmas that they wouldn't have otherwise had because of us and the many volunteers and the many people that donated. So you can help or you can donate. Mm-hmm. If you're going to donate, you're going to go to Mark. Send an email to mark@marksalem.com.
Yeah, or Andy at Salem Boys Auto.
Andy at SalemBoysAuto.com, A-N-D-I, that's my daughter. So Andy at SalemBoysAuto.com or Mark at MarkSalem.com, or you can call the shop, whatever, and you can help them out. And Renee's shaking her head, and her earrings are ringing, but that's actually
the dog's shaking. I was going to say, I don't have earrings on.
No, the dog's just shook, and then you could hear their thing is in my headphones. Yeah. So anyway, Secret Santa Club, 33 years long. We've raised $230,000. We're just almost 230, so we got to be a little bit below the 230 mark, right? Mm-hmm. 229-something.
Yeah, 228, I think. Yeah.
228 or something like that. Yep. So anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. It's really important for me to tell you that the your owner's manual is the manual for your car, and don't let anybody overrule the owner's manual. If the owner's manual says that you change the transmission fluid at 50,000 miles, then do it at 50. What's going to happen in some areas of our of the repair market is you're going to hear this: well, that manual wasn't written for Arizona. That's the one that causes my panties to wad up. I can't tell you how bad the wadded up goes. I say to you this: well, I don't have the Phoenix one. Would you order me a manual for my car for Phoenix? Mm-hmm. Because they don't make a manual for Phoenix.
Right.
And so the whole idea that we're going to change it, here's the deal. I'll bet you in each and every circumstance it benefits the shop and not you. Each and every circumstance. There's all kinds. Right now, we went from 50, 60, 30, 50, 60, somewhere around 30 to 60,000 mile fluid changes. And now all of a sudden we're at 100,000 miles. And we still have shops tell customers, because they tell me, that they have to change it at 30,000 miles.
Yeah,
I did. In my 1980 car, I did the tranny service at 80,000 miles. But today the fluid is so much far superior. It's a synthetic fluid. It goes 100,000 miles. But that shop's going to sell you a transmission service and flush at 30, 60, 90, when really you can wait till 100. So familiarize yourself with your owner's manual. There is a maintenance schedule inside there. And ladies, this is the best part. When they tell you you need something, you say, hey, okay, when I get there, I'm going to get, if you just get my owner's manual out and dog ear the page where it says that I have to do this now, they never do that because it's not true. And then they're going to come up with an excuse. Well, this isn't written for Arizona. Then you say, well, just order me an Arizona owner's manual for my car. They don't make one. The owner's manual is made for wherever that car is sold. So it doesn't really make any difference if you're in Minnesota or Arizona or whatever. So the idea is the owner's manual is the owner's manual. You should follow the owner's manual because you're the owner. And don't let us, now, don't let us talk you out of it. But here's the other side of that.
Okay.
I say to you, for whatever reason, your oil in your transmission is brown and burnt. It smells brown and it's burnt. I'd like to take you out to your car. I want to pull the dipstick out of it, and I want you to sniff it and look at it. I'm going to bring a can of brand new transmission fluid out there, and I'm going to stick your dipstick after I wipe off the trash. I'm going to stick it in my oil and pull it out and show you what new stuff looks like. I don't know what happened, and this is what happens. The wife says, oh, my husband got a new boat, and he's been pulling it to the lake all the time. Well, that's the reason why the transmission's overheated, is because he got a new boat.
Yeah.
So under those circumstances, yes. Another one, brake fluid. Brake fluid is usually a 100,000-mile service. I say, Mrs. Salem, your brake fluid has a moisture content of 11%. Typically, it shouldn't be over 2 or 3%. So somehow or another, it's been in an environment that it's not happy about. So instead of flushing the brake fluid at 100,000, you're at 70. I would suggest that you budget for that in the future. Let's do it a little bit earlier, because we just found out it has 11% more. We have litmus paper testing. We have different spectrometers that we can use. But we can look at that and tell you that the moisture content is out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is. And we don't know why, but it is.
Right.
it's not like we can put a couple of drops of oil in your brake fluid and fake you out either. Because when they do that, that really changes the whole composition of brake fluid. So that's a stupid idea. It was one at a time. Mm-hmm. All righty, we got a caller. Who might that be?
Hey, good morning to Ned.
Ned, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm glad you guys come on the radio every Saturday because I can't figure it out on YouTube University, so I got a call, Mark.
Okay, cool.
Actually, I just heard your comments earlier. First of all, I want to say that I can shout out to your shop because I've had a couple vehicles down there, and you guys do wonderful work, and I only live a couple miles from Tom Blackwell, and he took on that 76 air-cooled Beetle last year and did a fabulous job. And he's a fun guy to sit there and talk to. I think he was getting sort of bad looks from the rest of the people in the shop because we're sitting out there talking about all kinds of stuff. But in any event, well done. I do have a real question about car repair, and you've actually had this vehicle in your shop before.
Okay.
I've got a 2005 Ford Excursion. And the driver's window, I just replaced the switches and all that kind of stuff. Pretty easy, almost simple for a guy that only thinks what you got to do is use a bigger hammer every time it doesn't work. But this morning, the window went down, and then it stopped about 2 inches from all the way down the driver's door.
Okay.
And it made a real grinding sound.
Okay.
It's getting power, and it's going up and down. And I don't think it's the motor because it seems to work. But going back up, I had to wiggle the window, and it made that grinding sound. And then when I wiggled the window, it went up. So it seems, is there a track in there that I'm
there's a belt
to
there's a belt in
or
there
something, or?
There's a big plastic belt in there.
Oh, okay.
And so you just chewed off a bunch of teeth, and so it'll come up and down.
That's
with your
what
hand.
I was going to say. It sounded.
Yeah, it's normal. I mean, and really, your 05 Excursion is 20 some odd years old.
No, not quite. 17.
Maybe. 17 years.
But 17.
Yeah. So and it lives in the door, and it's real hot in the door in Arizona. So and this is really pretty simple. You take the door panel off, and you take the regulator and the window out, and you put a new belt or a new motor or both. And sometimes we'll buy the entire assembly, especially if it's all bent up. But if it's not, and it's a matter of just looking at it and deciding, am I going to do a belt? Am I going to do a belt and a motor, or am I going to do the whole assembly? And it just depends on what it looks like. But, you know, if you need a little, I say this with my tongue in my cheek, okay? You tell Blackwell, listen, if you need somebody to help you make this decision, Mark said he'd drive up here and help you.
Yeah. Well, that's how I got in to see him. Now when I call over there, The whoever answers the phone over there for him, real nice guy, says, hang on, I'll put you on with Tom.
Yeah, Aaron.
They already want to talk to me.
Oh, and that's Aaron. Yeah. Aaron, I want to tell you something. Aaron probably is one of the finest people I've met in the auto repair industry. He used to work with Stacy and her husband. What was his name? Stacy
is the guy.
Is the guy.
Yeah.
And anyway, Stacy and his wife used to run Air Park Auto, and Stacy passed away. And then the store was sold, and Aaron worked there, and then he went someplace else, and then he wasn't happy, and then he ended up at Blackwell's. But I followed Aaron for years and years, and I want to tell you something. I wish he worked for me. He's just really a great guy, and he's really straight arrow, and he doesn't put up with crap from the counter. He doesn't put up from crap from the shop. He knows right from wrong, and he does it in a gentlemanly way, which is quite different than Tom Blackwell and Mark Salem.
Yeah.
So he's a really good buffer for Tom Blackwell, who has a bad habit of in the old days, Tom is like somebody that I knew that would get their tow truck and pick the car up and put it in the middle of the street, and that was the sense that we don't want you to come back. So those are the kinds
of things. We're done.
Yeah.
So I got to run, but Ned, thank you very much. Thank you. And we're going to take a break, but 602-508-0960, and there's 5 lines open. If you have a car question, now's the time. You know, when it comes to auto repair shops, we actually have a fraternity of guys that's on MarkSalem.com. You go to the best car repair shops. We all know one another. We all respect one another. We all lean on one another.
Sure.
We all call one another when we have a crazy customer come in and you can't believe what they said, or you can't believe that this car came in and she said it had a duck noise and we found an animal in the trunk or something
quacking.
Like that, quacking or something yeah. like that. So all of that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
And we are really, truly a fraternity, so to speak. And if you want to assign that to the college fraternity, that's okay because most of us are a little bit
crazy
and raunchy anyway.
Wild, yeah.
Yeah. And Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, Nate, he's not as old as the rest of us, but he's every bit as good as the rest of us. When it comes to diesels, he's up at I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road, and he's really good at diesel service and repair and performance modifications and that kind of stuff. So if you live in the North Phoenix area and you have a diesel, if you want to know who does the best Ford, Chevy, and Dodge diesel repair work, domestic and light-duty trucks, then it's Strictly Diesel Service Repair. And again, his name is Nate. Keith, good morning to you. How can I help you this morning?
Good morning, guys. Happy Saturday. Appreciate all you do. It's been I learn something every week.
Thank you.
My motor pool sergeant from 35 years ago would flip over if he heard last week's keep your battery terminals dry and tight.
I want to tell you something. I got lots of calls on that. I got lots of emails on that. It's okay, though. It's okay. It's just the change. And it's if you want to smear Vaseline and grease and paint your camels, go right ahead. Sooner or later, we're going to have to clean that mess up when we do some electrical analysis on your car. And that's it. So
That was the easiest way to pass a motor pool inspection. Just have your battery clean and your terminal looked at and kept right on going.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
So you helped me out last year with a Kia problem. We ended up getting a replacement engine put in there, and it was all covered under warranty.
Good.
And this year, and I appreciate that, and this year I've got a 2003 Hyundai Elantra bought about 7 years ago for my son, high school car. Ended up going to Flagstaff for a couple of years of school up there and a year in Idaho. And it ran great up there as far as this problem. So in a colder environment, it worked great. March of this year, he came back to Phoenix until he moved to Houston. So he was in Phoenix from March until October. And when he got down here, what would happen is the car, it would either do this in the morning when you start it, or if you're driving around a little bit, get in the car, and then it would happen. And what will happen is it's a rough start, car shaking and up and down, but it won't accelerate past about 5 miles an hour. You know, once you put it in gear and try to drive it, it's only going to go about 5 miles an hour. If you floor it, it's going to go maybe about 20 miles an hour. And then, you know, you either not drive it anymore, wait a couple days and drive it some more, or disconnect the battery and the problem clears up. It'll fix it right there and you can drive home.
Okay.
But you lost all your codes.
Well.
So we took it to our shop at the time to diagnose.
Okay.
They gave us a list of all the stuff that, you know, they'd say, well, we'll just start ticking off the list and work our way down this. We did a map sensor and a throttle position sensor just because they were relatively cheap and right on the list and everything was saying maybe try that. Didn't take care of the problem. We changed shops, and I've got a great shop now that I love, and I don't give out the name because I love it so much. He found a wire in the map sensor harness that needed to be fixed, and he did that, but he couldn't diagnose the problem because it, you know, we can't duplicate it till it happens.
Okay, can you bring us to an end here pretty quick, though, okay? I got a break coming.
So I took it to took it to Blackwell's. They diagnosed it twice for 3 or 4 days at a time, but they couldn't get it to diagnose. They couldn't give us a reason. And he moved to Houston, just starting to have the same situation happen again. And I was just interested if anybody had any thoughts on what we'd be looking at.
Well, everything that you've done so far is wrong. I mean, we don't replace parts based on codes. Let me explain something to you. Every single component in your car, I want you to pretend it has a 5-volt reference. Okay, so the throttle position sensor you talk about, for just ease of sake, it gets 5 volts, and it's going to tell me in voltage language where your foot's at. So if it says 1, it's idling, and if it says 5, you're wide open throttle. How hard is that to check? I plug in my scanner underneath your dash. I pull up the TPS. I look at the values. At idle, 0.87, perfect. At wide open throttle, 4.67, perfect. Then I go look at your map sensor, your mass airflow sensor. It's air going through the mass airflow sensor. So at idle, the air is like this. at wide open throttle, it's like a weed blower or a leaf blower, okay? The voltage at idle is 1. At wide open throttle, it's 5. And everything in between. Now, is this a fuel-related problem? Is this an exhaust problem where you got the biscuit coming loose on the catalytic converter and sometimes it gets that turd stuck sideways and we don't have any power, and sometimes it's not stuck sideways and we do have power? And to find out if the biscuit's loose, you crawl underneath the car and kick it, the catalytic converter, 2 or 3 times, and do it over a period of a week. And if you ever kick it and all of a sudden there's something rattling around inside of it, boop, boop, we're done. So there's no reason to guess on all this. There's no reason to replace all the codes. There's no
right.
There's none of that reason. We're better than that. Our industry can diagnose it.
Yeah, it's past all the diagnosis now. You know,
no, it didn't, because it still got the problem. It didn't pass
true,
the diagnosis.
No, I mean, the guy we had checked the electrical voltage on the sensors, and that's where he found the wire and everything else checked out. Like I said, Blackwell's have had it for 3 to 4 days times 2, but the problem doesn't come up. It's a random problem. It only comes up every once in a while. So I'm looking at maybe it's a fuel filter, fuel pump issue, I don't know, transmission issue, exhaust issue.
Well, tell Blackwell, how much is it going to cost you to plug in a fuel pressure gauge next time the kid's in town, and I want you to plug it in and put it on the windshield with some duct tape and have him monitor the fuel pressure gauge for the 3 or 4 days he's here. And tell him Salem will do it for less than $500, and so see what he'll say. But I mean, there's so much more here. Our industry doesn't struggle with this kind of stuff. I mean,
obviously we are right now.
Well, wait a minute,
But
the question, here's the real question: did it happen when Blackwell had it?
No, he said it didn't.
Okay, that presents
it's hard
a problem.
Find.
But then we say to the guy who's driving it, we want you to keep the tank full all the time. And we want you to keep the tank full and see if it happens. And keep it full I want it between 3/4 and full for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Then I want you to run off the bottom of the tank. I want you to run off that quarter tank mark and just add $5, $6, $7 at a time.
Sure.
That helps me diagnose the fuel pump because the fuel pump now is out of the fluid and not being cooled.
Yeah.
The exhaust, when it happens, I want you to go back and put your gloved hand over the exhaust, not to plug it, but just over it. How much air volume is coming out? Then when it's running good, do the same thing. It's idling. Walk back there and feel the exhaust. Those are the kinds of things that we can do. Mm-hmm. But I got to run. Okay. I'm sorry, Keith. Good luck to you. And tell Blackwell, if he can't fix it, geez, send it over to me. I'll fix it. And he'll go crazy when he hears it. He'll call me and use bad words.
Yeah.
I know he will. This we need some interface with the customer, with the driver of the vehicle, and we need to ask the right questions. But yes, there are cars like this that's going to take an army to find them and fix them. And what you hope and pray for at night is this: you hope and pray that whatever goes bad, or whatever is marginally bad, goes bad, and the fuel pump quits, the exhaust plugs up solid, and give us, please, Lord, just, we're having a tough time diagnosing this, just whatever's going on, just have it fail. Just have this intermittent problem just go away, or not go away, but just fail.
Completely.
Yeah. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We have 5 lines available, and you're welcome to grab one. And we're about 12 seconds away from being here at the bottom of the hour, so we still have another half an hour of show. So if you have a car question, or if you have an opportunity to talk about it, 03 Elantra, then we can do that too. 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is my wife, Renee. When she's with me, behind the scenes, she's pinching me. She's punching me. She's saying, calm down. She says, behave yourself. Wait a minute. I got to turn up your mic. Okay, what?
Oh, you tried to turn me off, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
You did.
No, I didn't.
I did it, actually.
I know you did.
You just get way too wound up. You need to just simmer down.
I know, but our industry's better than some of the things I've heard.
Okay.
And even though one of them was talking about a good friend of mine, mm-hmm. it's just really a matter of sometimes you just have to wait until it goes bad.
Sure.
And fails, and then it's easy to find. There's just nothing else.
Right.
I wouldn't suggest that we can fix 100% of the problems that come in the door, but I know we can do 95% of them.
Sure.
And a lot of them don't even have a check engine light. They don't even have anything. It's just, on Wednesday at 2 o'clock, my car hiccuped.
Right.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
And then that's where I call Andy, our daughter, and say, Andy, would you handle this car hiccup for me?
Yeah.
So anyway, let's go to Brad. Brad, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Well, I have a 2013 BMW 328i, and I didn't follow one of the biggest pieces of advice, and that is to make sure that they're gambling with their money instead of mine. So I spent $1,300 on a coolant light that keeps coming on, but every time I check it, cold, hot, the level seems to be fine. The only place I can check it is in the overflow reservoir, and it's never low, but I keep getting the light.
Okay.
What do you suggest?
Well, I suggest that you go to one of two BMW shops that I know that can fix it. What is Beyer still Beyer or not?
No, it's not, but I don't unfortunately know what it is now.
There was a BMW shop down near Chandler Airport. Off of Chandler Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Well, that's an overnight trip for me because I'm up in the Northwest.
Okay. I'm not going to be able to geographically help you because the two shops I know that do BMW is left, right, in and out and do a good job. One of them's in Tempe and one of them's in Chandler.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I don't know.
All right.
I'll give you another suggestion. I think what I would do is I would call a couple of the auto parts stores that deal in BMW parts. Okay, you'll have to do a little research, but you'll find them. And then I would call him up, and I would ask for the senior parts guy, and I would say to him, I have a BMW. I'm really struggling with this coolant light. I've spent $1,300 guessing already. Who is it that buys the part and never returns it? Who is it that pays their bills on time? Who is it that's been in business for the last 10 years? Who is the BMW expert? And I think you'll find exactly what you need in your geographical area.
All right. Well, I'm going to need to talk to you some other time when I'm ready to on a 91 Z28 Camaro for a total rehab. So we'll talk another time.
No, that's fine. I'll tell you what we just did not too long ago. We had we bought a bunch of 2010 Camaros when they first came out with the 6-liter, and we put blowers on all of them, and we've had quite a bit of conversation with both Chevrolet and others about what did you do and how did you keep from blowing the head gaskets off of it and stuff like that. So those kinds of modifications on those older cars are something that we've been involved in, and we've been very successful with that. So if you're north, you might want to touch base with Blackwell, and if you're south, you touch base with me, and we got the valley covered. Okay.
Rehab from outside, inside, wanting to rebuild it because I'm the original owner of it. Only one that's ever owned it other than GM, Chevrolet. So I want to put it back or tear it down, put it back together, and have a fun car again. So when I'm ready to invest $20,000 or more into it, well, I'll give you a call.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Does it burn oil, leak oil right now?
No, the problem with the engine right now is it will run when it's cold or cool. Once it gets to operating temperature, it doesn't matter what I do with the throttle. It will only idle. It will only go at idle speed.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. The motor is the long block, so it's the block and the heads. No intake,
right.
No fuel delivery system, no electronics, no nothing. So I suggest to you that it's a bad idea to put a long block in there and put all of this stuff on top of the long block, because I'm going to bet 100-1 odds that you're going to have the same problem with the new engine. This is not a tough thing to find. It's a tough thing for you to find, but it's not a tough thing for us to find. So let us first deal with the issue, because I want to tell you something. That Camaro, that has a big window of performance. And if you want me to set the needle at 10, I can. If you want it at 5, and it's probably at 3. So, I mean, there's a lot of potential there. But you're unbolting everything, and you're going to put the same all the electronics back on, all the electronics, all the fuel delivery, all the timing, the distributor. You're going to put all that back on there, and you got a problem. And you're going to have it with the new motor, because the motor doesn't come with a brain. So, I know that you're on the right tack, but I suggest you look at it from my point of view, and I think there's guys north and south and east and west on my website, marksalem.com, that can, like Harkers. Harkers can handle this. Blackwell can handle this. Salem can handle this. Kurtz can handle this. Mm-hmm. Who else? Action could handle this. Yeah. Yeah, Tom could handle this. So there's a lot of shops that wouldn't have any problem with your symptoms. But I got to run. But thank you very much. And the lines are open, 602-508-0960. And all five of them are available. So if you have a comment or a question, now's the time. 43 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. I'm sitting here next to me is my wife, Renee, and she's grabbing my arm and telling me to shut up and calm down and all that other kind of stuff. What we've had here is we've had an abundance of people that have problems that they haven't solved or shops haven't solved.
Yeah, okay? It has been a lot today.
It's been an unusual amount today. Mm-hmm. My problem with that is that we don't struggle with that. We have lots of good technicians. We got a lot of master techs, and they're real senior, but so does a lot of other shops.
Sure.
It's really a matter of communication. And I think what happens sometimes is that the person with the problem goes to the internet and exhausts all the possibilities that have been suggested by people who could have been dog catchers, and I don't mean to disparage, they could have been a pharmaceutical guy, I mean, but they aren't master techs, they aren't guys that work on cars for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So they've exhausted that, so at this particular point, then I'm going to do this. But I still think I don't remember the last time we couldn't find and fix a problem. And I know Blackwell would say the same thing, and I know all the other guys would say the same thing.
Yeah, as long as it's happening when we're looking for it. And
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to just, can we drive your car home? You know,
sure.
Like I've driven cars home, you've driven cars home.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had our technicians take them home.
Yeah.
And we hook fuel pressure gauges up to them. We hook a scanner up to them.
Sure.
We hook an exhaust probe to them to see what kind of tailpipe emissions they have. We're doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And Eddie luckily lives in Glendale, so he has a long commute, and he's the one that usually drives him home.
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
And Eddie's been with us how many years?
It's probably 34 now.
34 years. Probably. He's a master tech. The kid can fix anything except the crack of dawn and a broken heart. And he says he can fix a broken heart, but I tease him about that. And he's so quiet and subtle, but I give him something where on Thursday morning at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the windshield wipers go to full on. But only on Thursday at 2. He'll fix it.
Yeah.
He'll find it and he'll fix it.
Well, we call him MacGyver, so he can pretty much fix anything.
But virtually every one of the shops I talk about has that same kind
of
staff.
They do.
They
yeah.
do. Every
no
one
question.
Of them. All righty. We're going to, and I'll give you an example. Larry Harker's Auto. Been around since 1967. Bob runs the shop. Ellen runs the front counter. And guys, don't try to out BS her with your car talk because she knows more than most guys I know.
Yeah.
Ellen's been around a long time. But I tell the story. He had a BMW. The estimate was thousands of dollars to fix something, and they found the drain, the condensation drain in the evaporator case was plugged up, and that's why there was water on the passenger side floorboard. They fixed it for like $175, and the bid was $3,000 or $4,000.
Yes.
Come on.
I know.
So Harker's Automotive has done that for me so many times where I've sent somebody to them that had an unfixable problem, and this is what they say. I open the hood, and everything that's sold at Checker Auto is new underneath the hood.
Yeah.
And then they find out that they've got an ignition problem or they got a coil problem or they got something else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it is. Jed, good morning.
Yes, I wanted to thank you for talking to me about my engine on my 2004 Chevy pickup, and I have another question.
Okay.
It's I took it to a shop and bought a lifetime warranty on the alignment.
Okay.
Wore the tires on the outside edges of both tires, and so I went back, and they said that the rear of the truck was too low, and that's why they couldn't realignment. It had to be lifted up. Well, they sold me the alignment when it was in that same position.
Okay.
And it's only down an inch.
Okay. Well, you guys are arguing about something I'm not going to argue with you, Jed. Okay? I'm going to tell you, it's normal for us to wear the outside edges of the front tires. That's normal. I don't care who you are.
Okay.
I don't care how many cars you own. I don't care. I'm a master guy when it comes to masters. I'm going to someday get myself in trouble with that. I am a great alignment guy. I am one of the few guys in this town. I'm probably one of 10 guys that can align anything. But when you turn the steering wheel left and right, we're going to wear the outside edge of those front tires. I don't care about the back end being an inch high or an inch low. I'm going to adjust for the back end being an inch high or an inch low when I'm doing the alignment. you got a problem. He got a lifetime alignment. You take it back in, and now all of a sudden the truck needs a whole bunch of more work. I think you ought to just rotate the fronts off the back and put them on the back and put the back on the front, and I think you ought to move on. You didn't say anything about it pulling to the left or the right. All you've got is not even excessive wear. You've got a rounding of the outside edges of the two front tires, and the back tires just follow, so they never lean and turn, but the front tires lean and turn. So I'll give you my best advice. First of all, you got to find a better garage. Second of all, just take the fronts off, put them on the back, put the back on the front, and let's go. Let's start all over again. You're supposed to rotate your tires somewhere in the vicinity of 7,500 mile intervals,
yeah,
somewhere
six
around
to 7,000.
Thank you, thank you, Mrs. Salem. 6 to 7. I'm going to go with
and
that.
And I've never heard of a lifetime warranty on an alignment. I mean, that I was like, what?
So does see the alignment is done after we fix the problem. So the lifetime warranty on the alignment, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and somebody hits a curb, I mean, that could knock the alignment out. I mean,
are they going to cover that?
I don't understand.
It doesn't. Lifetime warranty on the alignment. It means that I'm going to align it and it's never going to go bad.
Right.
Well, it's going to go bad as the ball joints wear, as the upper control arms wear, and the bushings wear. As the tires lose their vertical position, it's going to go bad. So are you going to replace the upper bushings, the upper ball joints, the lower ball joints? Are you going to replace the lower control arms than the upper control arms? Is that what you're talking about? No. I'm just going to do your alignment. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a lifetime warranty on your eyeballs. Okay?
Oh, boy.
I'm going to give you a lifetime warranty on your eyeballs.
Yeah, that's really unusual, Jed. We've never heard of that before, so.
Anyway, take my advice. You rotate the tires front to back and find yourself a new shop. That's what I think. All righty, Jed. Good luck to you, buddy. We have to talk about one more shop, too. Thompson's Auto Repair. Thompson. Brian and Thelma, when you meet Brian and Thelma, you'll know why I just adore them, and here's why.
Okay.
In the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, there was some families that dominated the gas station business in the Tri-City area, mm-hmm. the Tempe, Chandler, Mesa, Apache Junction, and that was the Vivian family and the Thompson family. Well, the Vivian family and the Thompson family, it's Brian Vivian and Thelma Thompson. And so they come from that family. When they got to dinner at night, they smelled gasoline because Daddy had gasoline on his hands. They smelled the exhaust in his shirt. They've been around. The two of them are in Mesa. It's the only shop in Mesa I can recommend. This is the only shop in Mesa I will recommend. It's because I know they do good work. They know the difference between right and wrong. They're not going to let some brand new technician snow them and think that they're dumb and stuff, because these two young people, Brian and Thelma, his wife, they know cars. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to tell you that if you're in Mesa, the only shop I can recommend to you is Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're on Stapley, just on Main Street, actually, just east of Stapley. And they've been in business, the two of them have been in business since 70. So if I'm not mistaken, that's 50-plus years, mm-hmm. and they have been. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good, and they come from a good family, and their moms did books at gas stations, and their dad came home late after he got all the cars done, and that's the way it was. Shell stations, Union 76 stations, what else did they have? No, that was basically it. Union 76 was the Vivian side, and the Shell was the Thompson side.
Okay.
And so, anyway, folks, I don't think we have any callers.
No. We got a couple more minutes, so if you want to get in,
you can.
602-508-0960.
602-508-0960, and we'll get you real quick because we've got about, 2 to 58. We got 6 minutes left on the show, so I can do a quick question or two, I think.
Yeah,
it just depends how much the preamble is.
How long-winded you are.
Well, sometimes they call me and they just dump all this stuff on my plate, and it's just going to take a while to me to sort it out in my head.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, they can email you, too, during the week, and answer questions there.
Mark at MarkSalem.com. I tell you what I'm going to do then. I'm going to talk about the Secret Santa Club again. The Secret Santa Club is a club that Mark and Renee and my family has done for a very long time, for 33 years, as a matter of fact. And we have raised $230,000. And here's a sample of the things that we use the money for. Let me tell you, 100% of the money we raise goes to this. Gifts and clothes for kids that are in state-run group homes. Hygiene bags for homeless people that include socks and t-shirts, toothbrushes, toothpaste, lotion, soap, sunscreen, chapstick, and wipes. we package from home for our we send packages from home to our servicemen and women. We donated hundreds of turkeys plus cash to the St. Mary's Food Bank and St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. We buy toys and donate them to the W. Stephen Martin Toy Drive and Toys for Tot. And we've helped women and children who are in bad domestic violence shelters or in good shelters because of domestic violence. So whatever money we get, 100%. Now, in addition to that, Mark and Renee will match the highest number. Now, it's not, we know that three or four of our friends will get together and give us a $100,000 number, and we're supposed to match that. But it's the single person. So we just look, and if somebody donated $2,000, then we donate $2,000. And if somebody does $5,000, we donate $5,000. So one way or another, we're going to take care of that. So it's called the Secret Santa Club. We've been doing it, my family, my kids, my wife, and myself have been doing it for 33 years, and we're real proud of what we've done. Mm-hmm. The joy we have on Christmas morning of knowing that we've made significant difference, the one I remember the most was the lady that lived in a Salvation Army shelter. Mm-hmm. She had been abused. She had children. Her car was a wreck, and we went in and we redid her whole car. We put new car seats in it for her kids so that they were safe. Mm-hmm. Tires. We did under the hood work. We did air conditioning work. We did heater work. I think we did one window. We replaced one window, but we took it and we arranged to do the whole thing in one day. But we had help. Mm-hmm. We had glass people there. We had people that were helping us, and we rehabbed her car and gave her back a car that was quite different than the car that we got.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and that was one of them that we paid for all of ourselves.
Sure.
So yeah. If you want to be part of our Secret Santa Club, then just email mark@marksalem.com.
Yeah.
Mark with a K at marksalem, like the cigarette, marksalem.com.
And he'll send it on to me or Andy, and we'll handle it.
That's exactly right. You took the words out of my mouth.
That's right.
And my daughter, Andy, who is the CEO, CFO of our company, and my wife are the ones that actually handle that. Mm-hmm. And they do a great job, and every year when we get the analysis, and by the way, everybody who does give money is going to get an end-of-the-year recap letter.
Yes, and then we send all the receipts, copies of the receipts, and everything we've done so that you all know that we've done that.
And we match the highest donation.
Yeah. You told them that.
And,
yep.
And I told them that again. Because
yep.
Within reason. You know what I mean? Of course, if somebody walked in and did $25,000,
yep.
I don't know that we'd spend that much money, because 33 years divided by $230,000, we're not spending a whole lot,
yeah.
But we're doing our best.
Oh, yeah.
So, and we're making a good difference.
We spend every dime every year, and we end up giving it, you know, buying toys down to the last dollar, or giving it to the Salvation Army or the St. Mary's Food Bank. So
okay.
Every year there's no, you know, holdover or anything like
right.
that. We spend all the money we get each year.
And so. Typically we round it off. So if we end up with $313, we're going to round it off to $400, and then
sure.
we'll make the donation.
Sure.
And then, it, like Renee says, you get everything.
Right.
You get copies of the receipts. You get copies of everything. But you don't get information about the people other than a lady at the shelter.
Exactly.
We have the work order with the lady's name and address and phone number and all that other kind
sure.
of stuff, but we don't provide that.
Yeah.
But it's a good feeling if you wake up a little empty on Christmas morning, like we did many times in our lives, this makes it a lot better.
Yeah.
The week before is a little bit hectic.
Well, no, we get it done way before that. We try to get it done the first couple weeks of December, just so that everybody's set and everybody's ready and they have it ready to go for the families and different things.
And
so.
There's some of the wives of the donating families
mm-hmm.
that will help you at
sure.
times.
Sure.
And so if you want to, and if you have something, it's not really, we don't need help identifying the people that need help. We need help. We need the elves.
Yes.
We need the elves. Go shop for this size young kids.
Mm-hmm.
There's two boys and one girl, and this is for mom. Here's your budget. Go get them Christmas gifts. Talk to them.
Yeah.
And wrap them all up and then deliver them the night before.
Yeah, and a lot of times when Andy and I are in the store with, you know, 18 carts or whatever, buying all the toys and stuff, Walmart or Target or some of them, they're really nice about giving us a discount on some of that stuff. So we really appreciate that, too.
There was one time that was exactly the case. How many carts did you have that
I
somebody
don't even
said
know.
Something? We were in line.
Yeah. People go, oh, my goodness, I'm not getting behind that lady. So.
And that does make it tough.
Yeah.
But it's kind of nice because the Walmart and some of the Targets are open 24 hours. And
yeah.
So I think we used to go after midnight and do a lot of our shopping.
Yeah. And sometimes now we can order stuff online and different people that we donate to have wish lists right online, so that's kind of nice. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And so we can send it directly to them from online.
I can tell you this much, too. We've never felt bad about picking someone in all these years. We never found out later that we had been scammed. We never found out later that the person had a bad history or if you Googled his name, we've never had any of that. So we've done a good job in vetting them. But we're also counting on people to help us vet them.
Sure.
So it's the people at many of these places. So.
Yes.
Anyway, mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com. If you'd like to talk to me, that's the easiest way. Give me your phone number and I call you from my blocked line, but I'll say, hey, this is Mark Salem. I'm going to hang up and call you back in 5 minutes, and you'll know that it's me that calls you back. And obvious reasons, I'm going to use my block cell. See you next week.